You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, May 1st, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the King, Scott Angle, CTM Baseball's Matt Modica, and the fantasy executive who never stops working, Corey Parson. My name is Greg Sussman. Happy May, gentlemen. Corey, what's going on, my man?
Turning the microphone on.
One day
it, Yeah. Well, you figured after a couple years. At least I know to talk into it. But
once it's on,
Greg, I got it. You feel what I'm saying? Oh, no, I feel good. You know what I'm saying? May 1st is here. We're past the NFL draft. So I'm in fifth place in Tout Wars. So I feel pretty good about life right now. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm up and at 'em, rocking and rolling, sounding real strong. You know what I'm saying? The Mets got demolished yesterday. They gave up 3 touchdowns and a safety. So I'm happy about the state of sport right now.
Scotty the King, what's popping?
Busy weekend in sports. Looking forward to talking a lot about it today.
Thank you so much. It's popping. Matt, how are you, man?
After Saturday's choke job, I've been heavily medicated.
Oh, so. Yeah. Well, with the Rangers down 0-2, right?
Yeah, that was just...
Two goals in the last 3 minutes of the game?
They lost at home?
No. On the road, but they were up by 2 goals with 5 minutes to play.
They should have won that one, but you get to come to the Garden and tie it up.
Hopefully, Corey, hopefully.
Not much confidence from the Raiders fans. You know, it was a very tough weekend for you, sir, Matt Modica, I've noticed. You know, it started, of course, with the Rangers. The Bills that had their draft, and they got rid of their entire scouting department, along with their GM, Doug Whaley, who immediately hires their head coach, and the head coach usurps power from him, which was hysterical to me. But the Bills at least were trading up and down. Like, everyone's like, oh, that's a pretty good draft for the Bills. So you're like, what the hell got into Doug Whaley? Now you know it wasn't really Doug Whaley pulling the strings. Now you understand it.
Yeah, that was kind of the mindset going in. I mean, that's what I've kind of heard, the rumblings out of Buffalo, that he was pretty much on his way out. So I don't understand why he wasn't fired a couple of months ago.
Very tough to fire guys here deep in the draft season, I think.
Yeah, but when they hired the coach, you would have thought maybe they would have just got a GM and a coach at the same time or something like that. So, I mean, look, the Bills are a bit of a mess. I do like their draft, though. I mean, I really can't complain. I would have loved to have gotten one of those top receivers. That was my main the main downfall of the weekend. But besides that, they did do pretty well.
So, that was the Bills part of it. If we hit the Rangers part of it, let's see. What other team can I be forgetting? Oh, of course, right, yeah.
The Mets lost by 18. that's what you're talking about, Greg.
The Mets did lose by 18.
Oh, and something else happened, too.
The Mets lost 23-5.
Yeah.
And their starting pitcher yesterday was Noah Syndergaard, who, I believe, Corey, was hurt last week.
Yeah.
And he had pushed back twice.
Yeah.
And then refused an MRI because evidently people could do that. When the team says, go get an MRI, he's like, nah, I'm good. And then he goes back, oh, man, you know what? I'm going to get that MRI now. After he gets pummeled. Pulled from the game after an inning and a third, allows a bunch of runs and causes his team to allow 23 of them. And now, Scotty, the Mets once again are without their ace. They're jokes for putting him and Cespedes on the field yesterday. And this is a team completely in disarray. This is an embarrassment.
Again.
Yeah, with Syndergaard, it's like he's turned kind of surly towards the media this year, which is new for him. Like on Thursday, after reporters came to his locker, he told Jay Horowitz, get your little minions away from here. Oh. I don't want to be ambushed. And then he refused the MRI. And then you can see that.
Could you answer me that? Let's stop there. How does one refuse an MRI? If you are the team or the trainer or the owner or the doctor or the GM or the manager, you say, you need an MRI, how could he say no?
Sandy Alderson said, what do you want me to do? I can't strap him to the tube.
Oh, no.
I pay you.
You get the MRI.
What you should have done, though, is said, okay, you know, you're not going to get the MRI. you're not going to start. But then Alderson also said that he was medically cleared, which was even more confusing.
It's very simple. You don't get an MRI, you don't pitch. It's very simple. Yeah.
Simply, what the team could have done was, you know what? Okay, you don't want to go for the MRI. We're going to put you on the 10-day DL. We're going to skip you. We were going to skip you at some point anyway, probably twice this season at least. So you're going to get skipped, and hopefully we can get things checked out.
To me, it's you are going on the DL until you accept the MRI.
Exactly.
You will not come off the DL until you get an MRI. What? Why being stubborn? Why? What is he afraid of? Afraid of the machine? Like what is? What in God's name is the reason he didn't want an MRI?
Because he knows something's wrong.
Because you talk about an athlete, they don't want to come out of the game. Period.
But he's hurt. We all know he's hurt. And instead of significantly hurting yourself, you're afraid of the machine. You're afraid of the MRI.
I kept him out of my fantasy lineup this weekend.
Well, you know what? That's more power to you, Scott. That's tough move to do. We'll talk more about the Mets and the Nationals.
Yeah, let's do that.
Pissed off. We'll do more next here on the Roto Express.
I want to talk about it.
We are back here. All the Roto Experts in the morning. We just dove into this Mets discussion here. Because you have an optimistic Mets fan, Corey. And Scotty. Jesus. You're 0 for 3 today.
What are you?
0 for 4.
I'm pushing the wrong button now. Well, at least I turned the mic. You know I turned the microphone off. So there you go right there.
I do appreciate that.
I like this. I love to see... tension inside New York Met Nation. You feel what I'm saying? It makes for a great Monday morning. Any day of the week, it's a good start when Met fans can't get it together.
You know what's funny about you, though? You focus more on the Mets.
Oh, now it's about me.
It is about you.
Now it's about me.
It is about you because you're the one talking all the crap.
You know what's funny about you? What's funny? Don't worry about me. Worry about the Mets.
What's funny about
you? Worry about the Mets.
You know what? That's you. You worry more about the Mets than you do about the Yankees. You know more about the Mets than you do about the Yankees. The only things that you know about in baseball is fantasy and the Mets. You pay no attention to the Yankees. You would only know if Aaron Judge was doing good if he's on your team.
In fairness to Corey, the Yankees are in first place, and the way the Yankees were supposed to be anything this season.
It's 1 month.
The Mets are a disaster.
It's 1 month. It's
well,
one
I'm
month.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
Corey talks way more about the Mets than any other baseball team.
Because
maybe
I know you've been
getting under your skin.
I know it bothers you.
No, you do this when I'm not around. I've seen you.
Well, because I know it's going to get back to you. In some way or somehow, I like
it's not just
teasing
about,
you about the
it's
Mets.
It's not just about me. I've
because
seen you do it on
you
social
are,
media. I've seen you do it to other people.
I like
people.
The laughing Mets fans.
You are obsessed with the New York Mets. Obsessed.
Okay, so let's break down the situation. Like I said, this is not about me. So let's break down the situation. The medical issue is a problem. Like, who is in charge of this, the team's medical staff? Like, whose job is it to get rid of these people? Dr. A, can we get Dr. A to be the team doctor for the Mets?
I asked him that out last week. I actually pleaded with him to.
To me, it's simply unacceptable. It's unacceptable for your best player to refuse an MRI because he didn't want to find out if he was hurt or not. How is that okay?
But it's not okay.
The stuff that's happened in the last 4 days has been a reoccurring theme for years,
decades.
It's not like this happened once.
We have the Syndergaard drama now. We've had the Harvey drama
sure.
in the past, too.
Sure. Like, I go back to Harvey from last week. How do you tell a guy at 10 a.m. after he threw hard the day before he's starting today? You're starting in 3 hours, bud.
I mean, look at the way the team fired Willie Randolph when they did it.
Correct.
It was like on an overnight.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, time out. How about the hiring of Willie Randolph? The only reason Willie Randolph became a Mets manager is he accepted like the lowest salary ever, like $500,000 a year to manage his team. The Mets were going by on the cheap. That's the only reason why.
I think at that point, Randolph was a bench coach. I thought he had done a nice job. I thought he deserved a shot.
At the time it happened, I thought he deserved a shot.
But it's not that. The reason the Mets hired him is because he was willing to take $500,000 to become the manager of the New York Mets.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
But nevertheless, that's
I thought he deserved his crack no matter what the money was.
Again, it doesn't matter.
It's not your money.
No, but he's complaining about
I'm
it.
I'm saying the reason that he was the Mets manager is he was willing to accept that deal. I'm not saying he wasn't deserving of getting an opportunity to manage in the major leagues, but that's the reason why he became the New York Mets manager.
Anyway, Willie Randle's a decade in the past. What happened yesterday is right now. And the Mets got blown out 23-5 yesterday. Kevin Plawecki was just allowing home run after home run after home run, and they just didn't do anything about it. It was incredible, to be honest with you. 23 points is what it felt like. 23 runs for Washington,
like that,
compared to just 5. Anthony Rendon had 75 home runs, I think, yesterday with 47 RBI. Harper hit a home run. Weeders hit a bunch of home runs.
Yeah, they had 7 home runs. Total.
It was, I don't know. Crazy.
Anthony Rendon ended the day like 0 homers and 6 RBIs for the month of April.
Anthony Rendon became the first player in 68 years to have 6 hits, 3 homers, and 10 RBIs in a game. Also, the 4th player in MLB history to go 6-for-6 with 3 HRs. We were talking about it in Cicada and Engel. It compares to Sean Green's game in May 24th, 2002, when he had 4 homers, 6 hits, 7 RBIs and 6 runs scored.
Yeah, and this was just a monster game for the Nationals, and certainly for Anthony Rendon. You probably feel like if you're like a Trey Turner owner, you're going to be like, oh my God, how did I only hit a double? And that's it.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Tony said some guy in his league moved up like 5 spots in the standings. He had Anthony Rendon yesterday.
There you go. We spoke a lot about Syndergaard. Joe Ross wasn't very good either. 4 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs, struck out 5 guys, Matt.
Joe Ross, twice this week, could not go 5 innings, which is, for me, has just been horrific. I spent a lot of money on Joe Ross on Fab. And look, the Colorado one, okay, I can make the excuse there. The one against the Mets, you got to go 5. At least go 5 and bank that win.
The Nationals improved to 17-8. The Mets are 10-14, and there's not a whole lot to like about this team right now, because we spoke about Cespedes, we spoke about Syndergaard. Lucas Duda says, oh, I'm good to go, come off the DL tomorrow.
He vowed to be ready.
Excuse me. He vowed to be ready to come off the DL tomorrow. And then, my elbow hurts a little bit. What is with this team?
It's always the injuries. It's amazing how optimism can turn, because the Mets took the first 2 games of this series, the first one in dramatic fashion, and there was a lot of optimism heading into yesterday, and then just everything all of a sudden turned in like 1 game. The Nationals have scored 73 runs in their last 6 games. That is the second highest total in Major League history over a 6 game span.
They scored 50 yesterday.
Yeah, it's Scott. Are you, given that you were the more optimistic Met fan at the table compared to Matt, how do you feel with the Mets, in all honesty, right now?
I feel like it's only May 1st, and you know, we've seen this before. Even in 2015, they were bad, you know, and stuff like that. And then he made the trade at the deadline. It's a long season, but you know, it's definitely not good to like. This is like historically over the last half decade or even longer, injuries have continually dogged this team, and it continues to hold them back from, I think, what they can be.
But injuries happen to everybody, certainly, but it's doubly frustrating, at least from an outsider's perspective, that the injuries are just exacerbated by either an inept medical staff or an inept front office that doesn't properly rehab
their guys. It's very hard to find an answer for this. All I know is that you've been dealing with this for years, and whenever you draft a prominent Met, it always comes into the back of your head. Even when you draft Syndergaard this year as a top 3-4 pitcher, you're like, well, he's got some bone chips in the elbow there. I'm not so sure.
And it wasn't the bone chips, and it was just so obvious as what happened, right? Like the biceps, even if it wasn't the biceps, weren't bothering. He overcompensates on the other side. Now he's a lat strain, and like, it never stops.
I mean, let's just go back to Cespedes the other day. I mean,
incredible.
They could have DL'd the guy. He already missed like, you know, 5 games, 5 days.
He missed another 5 days.
They were so desperate with the Nationals coming on deck.
100%.
That they put him in the lineup, and we all knew this was going to happen, and boom.
Absolutely.
Like Travis d'Arnaud hits 2 home runs on Friday night in a dramatic victory.
Yep.
And then he hurts his back the next day.
But that's Travis d'Arnaud.
Travis d'Arnaud.
This has been the reoccurring theme of his career with the Mets.
It's unfortunate.
It is. It is unfortunate. And the Mets are the Mets.
It's a lot of season left.
Yes.
We've seen the Mets get hot before. So I want to be the bearer of good news for Met fans.
I think the Mets are going to turn it around. I think the division is out of reach. It's all about the wild card going forward.
The division's out of reach on May 1st?
On May 1st, I don't. The Nationals team versus the Mets, unless Max Scherzer and Strasburg go down, I don't see any way the Mets catch them.
On May 1st?
On May 1st.
I think... I love you, dude. But like, Scott, you sound like a Jet fan.
Scott, you will be the ever optimistic Met fan, and that's great.
I'm not optimistic.
Compare these two teams.
I'm balanced.
Compare them on paper right now. Compare them on paper, and just tell me
what if these guys who are hurt are back healthy, middle of the season? There's no reason they can't make a run.
When is Cespedes coming back? Next month?
Okay, when have the Nationals ever won a pennant race of note?
Okay, but let's say Cespedes comes back June 1st. We'll give him a June 1st. We're hoping Syndergaard, if he gets, he's going to miss like 6 weeks. That's great news. That's great news if he's only going to miss 6 weeks. That's the optimistic.
They haven't even given him an MRI, and you're putting a 6 week timetable on it. We don't know how long he's going to miss.
If he's got a lat or like an oblique, that's a month right there, and he's got to build up arm strength. I mean, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news. I'm looking at this team.
Realistically.
You know, we don't have our main guy. The one guy we couldn't lose on offense was Cespedes. He's gone. Matt Harvey is not the Matt Harvey of old. I love Harvey, but it's not that old, the same old Matt Harvey.
You know why one team seems to be in a little disarray over here? The other team in New York, things are going all right, Corey.
And I tell you why when we come back.
Because the New York Yankees... All of a sudden, if like 1 year off, we're feeling fun, we're feeling optimistic. Things are great in the Bronx right now. First place, New York Yankees. We'll talk about them next here on the Red Rocks Bridge of the Morning. She paints her nails and she don't know. She got her best friend on the phone. All right, I don't know the rest of the words.
Who is this, Greg?
Is American Hi-Fi?
Scott's playing the guitar for you.
I like this.
Play the guitar for you.
You would hate this.
Rock out for him, Scott.
I like this. It rocks.
It's very poppy.
This is even a pop song.
Yeah. It's got good drums to it, though. I'm okay with pop. Who thinks I don't like pop?
I loved in Eurotrip.
Yeah.
Scotty doesn't know.
What's the name of the American Hi-Fi.
Hi-Fi. What's the name of the song?
Flavor of the Week.
I'm going to actually give this a listen on the great way home.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. But you introduced him to something.
Yeah. I remember when you introduced me and Corey to fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good jam. That was a good jam.
Yeah.
And then, what was your couple summers ago? One of your songs. That might have been fun. I think it's probably the same song. Yeah, the same
some
song.
Nights.
Yeah.
What was it? Some Nights.
But no, that's not the one I'm talking about. There was another one that was... Anyway, it's not important now.
Let's get to the important stuff. Corner over there, to be fair, this is not just on the air. This is off the air. A lot of butting heads about the Mets.
A lot of intrigue. But this... One thing I will say, Scott... You have always been the very optimistic New York Met fan. Very optimistic. Agreed. When it was Ronis here, Ronis was always more based in reality. You could say pessimism. You are always the very optimistic New York Met fan.
Let me put that in perspective.
That's honestly speaking, right, Scott?
It looks that way because you know why? I think I have a balanced view of the team because... I've been following them since like the late 60s, and I've seen a lot of highs and a lot of lows. Today's Met fan, as much as I love Matt Modica, okay? Today's Met fan is doom and gloom, and I am not much doom or gloom as the other Met fans. By contrast, that made me look optimistic. I'm balanced. I think the Met fan, how old are you, Matt?
I was born in 73, Scott. What year were you born?
I was born in 66.
Okay, so you really don't have that many years on.
Yeah, you're
so
on the same group.
I don't know, like, you're trying to say, like, I'm being realistic. We have guys playing out of position.
You're conceding the division on May 1st.
Scott, well, if the ace of our staff and our best hitter are
not out for the year.
Okay, so when they come back in 6 weeks, where are we going to be?
It might get better. 12 games
it
out.
It might get better, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're going to make a run for the division, Scott, what? Okay, where do you need to be at the All-Star break? You're not going to be in first place.
I think if we win in 10 games out, they can win the division still.
10 games out with a team with Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper on it.
In 2015, and look what happened.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
So, again, that's that corner of the room. Yeah. Now, this corner of the room has a New York team that's 15-8 that won two awesome games of the weekend, came back on anything yesterday, obviously didn't pull it out. But the Yankees are fun to watch again, Corey.
Yeah, no, they have been fun. Like, I was coming uptown the other night, and I was like, well, why is this damn stadium still lit up? You know what I'm saying? And why can you hear the noise, like, from where I'm at? And I'm like, this is not... this doesn't happen anymore. You feel what I'm saying? So, it was interesting to see. I got a home. I went upstairs and I checked out the highlights. So, it was pretty interesting. So now you got a situation where we're coming into June and the New York Yankees are, sitting pretty right now. But I will say you have to be that. You know why it feels this way? Because when you come into a season with a whole bunch of optimism, and it doesn't work out right off the rip, people tend to get down. Where the Yankees came into the season pessimistic, and now they're playing well. So it's almost as if to say, when you don't, the Mets have pressure on them to win. The Yankees don't have that pressure.
Yeah, but why I'd be jubilant as a Yankee fan,
I am,
is the two guys that they were really banking on.
Severino?
Severino's been a dream. But I'm talking about on the offense.
Okay.
Was Gary Sanchez, who's pretty much been out the whole season.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when he did play, he hit like one
home. Didn't do anything,
yeah. Greg Bird has been terrible.
Yeah.
And they're in first place.
Yeah.
We're playing very well.
Yeah. And Aaron Judge.
You got to be excited just from watching Aaron Judge.
I am.
Yeah.
I am just excited. And again, like, power hitters going hot streaks and whatnot. And at some point, he's going to strike out 1,000 times in a row. But right now, I'm very, very excited about Aaron Judge, who, you know, arguably is the AL player of the month, given what he has done. 10 home runs in the month of April. I believe it was a rookie record. 303 with the OBP at 411. He's walking. He's, you know, seeing the plate all that better. It's a very, very fun time to be a Yankee fan. And even though they lost yesterday, you're still very, very optimistic about what's going on.
They
here.
Did come back, though.
In the night,
yeah.
It
was
they came back, and you have Aaron Judge up with bases loaded in the 10th inning. You're like, all right, they're about to win. Struck out. That happens. I was very annoyed, though, after Brad Brock blew one save. They pulled him from the 9th inning and put him in the 8th yesterday.
Yeah, that was a knee-jerk reaction by... Buck, what are you going to do? But I'll say nothing about the Yankees. Their middle infield play, I mean, Stone Castro has been amazing.
Yeah.
Now they got back Corey's favorite player, Didi.
Yo, my man, Didi.
I remember at the auction, we got to save money for Didi.
Got to save money for Didi.
But, you know, look, hey, Jordan Montgomery, he wound up giving up 3 runs on the day. He started the 6, two base runners reached. This kid, I do like the way he pitches. I really do. He's a fighter. You know, it's not all just about his numbers. Just watching the kid, you know, battle. And look, doing it in the American League East is no easy job.
Yeah, and plus the fact that, you know, Chase Headley has had a nice rebound season so far, at least through 1 month. You know, he said he had a really good offseason, very focused. You know, came into spring with good attitude, and you know that only helps the way he's playing. Matt Holliday has been very key, you know, with his hits, and you know, he's... if you drafted Holliday or Headley late or drafted them at all, you know, they've given you a nice return fantasy-wise.
Absolutely.
Oh, you might get all
I was coughing. I was trying to, you know, be polite.
No, I understand.
Yeah, 100% true. By the way, Brian Mitchell is something that I think he hasn't done in like 30 years yesterday. He went up pitching the 9th inning, going to play first base. Chapman pitched the 10th, and Mitchell came back for the 11th. Is that cool, Corey?
What was interesting about that game?
Cool. Okay.
I saw somebody on Twitter. I forget who it was. I would give them props. But the Yankees in that 6th inning, somebody mentioned that's when they really should have used Dylan Betances yesterday.
Yeah,
that's when the game was on the line. They had the lead. Bring in the guy who can shut him down. But so didn't happen.
Didn't happen. You know, bullpen rules and all that with Joe Girardi. Wade Miley, your guy. 5 innings, 8 hits, 2 runs, 5 walks yesterday, and 6 strikeouts for Wade Miley.
I think he has 19 walks in like 29 innings, something crazy like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been out on Wade Miley too. He hasn't been someone. I never bought into it, Scotty. It was never Wade Miley. Everyone jumping in on him.
Are you buying into this? He had another great start yesterday, Derek Holland.
Ooh.
I love how you just go out of nowhere.
To me, it's not out of nowhere. They're comparable. You know, these are two guys like journeyman type pitchers that are pitching over their heads.
Well, he was going to get to that. See, that's kind of what he was saying.
I just had no idea where Derek Holland came from.
Derek Holland and Wade Miley, same kind of guy to me.
Are they? Holland's better controlled than Wade Miley does, no?
I'm saying they're the same category. Like, you know, they're these older veteran pitchers that are kind of pitching over their heads, and when are you waiting for it to fall apart?
Yeah, you could throw Miguel Gonzalez in, who yesterday allowed like
Derek Holland didn't even pitch yesterday.
Yes, he did.
He pitched Saturday.
All right, whatever. Saturday, Sunday, whatever.
It's a date.
In fairness to Scott, that is a good comp with these guys because,
I was
you know,
confused.
You know, we went off topic.
Saturday, Sunday. What's the difference?
You want to mention the White Sox. I think you have to do as Matt mentioned, Miguel Gonzalez. I think that's even a better comparison because this is a guy who's pitching over his head as well. And yesterday, he had 14 hits, 7 runs. Only walked one guy, but this is the Miguel Gonzalez I expected. What I was with my buddy who owns Miguel Gonzalez. He's like, "Oh, this guy's been really good." I'm like, "You just wait, my friend. You just wait."
Oh, yeah.
And it was literally a couple hours later before he just.
And that's
blew
that's
up.
Why I brought up Holland. Holland is in this same exact, you know, kind of circle as these other guys, but he keeps start after start. You know, he keeps doing it.
Look, I hate the term that I think we're kind of getting a little too crazy on is regression police. In April, there's a bunch of pitchers who pitched well, who are pretty much like charlatans, guys that were not drafted or maybe like end of the reserve round.
What was that word again?
Charlatans.
I like that.
I like that. And look, eventually, some might, you know, come out of nowhere like J.C. Ramirez. Am I totally sold on him? Absolutely not. But he's a guy that you have to, like in a deeper league, take a shot on. I mean, the last three starts, the guy's got a 38% strikeout rate. But is he for real? We don't know. You can't wait. Like, some people want to wait for it to happen. You could do that like in a 10-team league. Maybe you can get by with it in a 12-team league for a short period of time, but you're going to have to make decisions. We're seeing guys, you know, Jimmy Nelson's. He pitched a couple of really good games. Yep. Looked like he was tight. He had a good spring. But these guys are reverting back to who we thought they were. And that's really the point that I'm trying to make. You might get lucky on one, and you have to take some risk. You're not going to be right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
A lot of times, that's not a bad thing. You have to take some chances is basically my point.
And last night in the Greenwich Street Tavern League waivers, second highest bid, Tony Cicada picks up J.C. Ramirez, dropping C.C. Sabathia for $112 in a $1,000 cap.
Sure, we can talk about J.C. Ramirez, too, who I know you were tweeting about, Matt. I'm out of Survivor Week 1, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I hate to hear that, Greg.
Same. And it was thanks to J.C. Ramirez. You know, it was funny because after I watched the Rangers game at a bar Saturday night because I was cheering on the Rangers. I own Carlos Gomez, as you guys know, and that was awesome. And then Sunday, Sunday, I watched the Rangers on Saturday afternoon were -115, you know, slight favorite. Mm. By Saturday night, they were -105. By Sunday morning, they were +105. By Sunday afternoon, they were +120.
Wow.
And you said you went to watch the Texas Rangers in a bar?
Yes.
Oh, I was like, what? At first, I thought New York Rangers, and I'm like, no, he's not a hockey fan.
Well, talk about my Survivor team.
Yeah, Survivor.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I was supposed
when
to
When you
do
said it. You go to a bar, though, you're a New Yorker, and you're going to watch
well, we were talking about J.C. Ramirez and Carlos Gomez.
No, I was thinking you were saying you went to watch the hockey game, but you also saw the Texas Rangers, but then I realized what you were saying. You went to a bar to watch the Texas Rangers.
I did, yes.
Everybody else was watching the New York Rangers.
No, the Texas Rangers played long after the New York Rangers.
Well, Carlos Gomez has turned things around.
Oh, yeah.
Carlos Gomez has turned things around. So anyway, yesterday, the odds severely shifted against my Texas Rangers, and after getting out 1-0, like, okay, just hold off for dear life. And then they didn't. And J.C. Ramirez, ever since moving into this rotation, has actually been really, really good. 5 1/3, 4 hits, 2 runs, 9 strikeouts. Scotty, you just mentioned. You just mentioned how Tony spent $112 on him in the Greenwich Street Tavern League. And look at these Angels guys, J.C. Ramirez, Jesse Chavez, who I know got beat up a little bit Saturday night. Like, these guys, like, they're okay. You know, they're okay. We'll talk more about them. We'll get in the Rangers and the Angels from over the weekend as well. Kevin Kiermaier coming up this hour, too. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the morning coming your way right after this. terrible when you look at your lineup on Monday and see how terrible the decisions you made the week before were.
Hey. Scott be playing that. Yeah, you know, yeah, there you go, Scott. We got to get the cameras on for this. I love it. I love your passion, Scott. Go ahead. Knock that eardrum down, Scott. Yeah. It's the best, yo.
Made some poor lineup decisions. Sorry.
You know, you don't get into Scott's air of instrument wizardry.
I can't say it does it for me.
I love it, Scott. Yeah, and not everybody's going to be a fan. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody's going to be a fan.
Yeah,
I still love Greg. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't do it for me. I apologize.
Can I say one thing about the Ranger game?
I want to get into it. Which Ranger game now?
No, the Texas Rangers.
Oh yeah, I'd love to talk about the Texas Rangers.
Just one thing that I had stated. First week, I put like a 200, probably about 25% of my fab on the line of the Shields. And I said, I'm not going to cut this guy because he's going to be relevant at some point this season. Mm-hmm. He could have the opportunity will arise. He'll steal like 30 bases. And I was playing the first like 3 weeks without a full lineup. I was doing well. I was in the top three, back and forth. But I was like, you know what? I need to put a third baseman. I got Beltre and I got Yan Moncada. I got to get a third baseman. So what did I do last week? You know, I cut him for Escobar. You now Escobar of all the people. Mm-hmm. And then this week, I watch him go. So, you know what? We all do stupid things, and I just wanted to highlight my stupidity.
Yeah, I cut Andrew Tolles last night. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. But I did get the Shields in the Granite Street Tavern League for $66. So.
Yeah, he was going for like 180 or more.
I started Chad Kuehl last week, though.
Oh, I did too.
And Adam Conley. It worked out poorly. So.
That worked out poorly too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so speaking of Texas, I knew exactly the game that Martin Perez would give me, so that was frustrating. Shin Tzu hits his third home run. Delano the Shields, you know what was crazy with the Shields? Was that they announced that Ryan Rua was going to be the everyday left fielder, and then Delano the Shields became the everyday left fielder. Like, they announced Rua, and then it became the Shields.
Yeah, but it's just, he's one of those guys that an opportunity is going to arise for him, and He's kind of like Jared. I look at him as like a Jared Dyson of the past. If he gets 350 plate appearances, he's going to steal 30 bases.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not going to contribute a lot, and it's going to be a little frustrating to own, but that's the way I kind of look at him.
And you look at Martin Perez, he's now 1-4, but you know, he gets no run support. In 5 of his starts, they've given him 9 runs of support.
You know, it's interesting as Martin Perez, I think, to me, is always the same guy. He's going to give you 6 innings. He's probably going to allow about 3 runs. If that's good enough, that's good enough. If it's not, it's not. And that's like the guy Martin Perez is. Could J.C. Ramirez be better than that, Scotty?
I think J.C. Ramirez might have better stuff. You know, the scouting report. You know, to be honest with you, I haven't watched him as much as Tony, but Tony had an interesting scouting report on this morning, and he sounds like he's got pretty good stuff. I got to give him more of an eyeball test.
Tony bought him all over the place this week. I noticed that. Yeah. He bought him in the auction, too. J.C. Ramirez.
I was trying to get him myself. I failed.
I like the fact that he has...
Why were you trying to go get him? What is the reason that J.C. Ramirez is a thing?
Yeah, I'm looking at him. It's a supremely small sample that he has. But a guy keeps striking out guys. Mm-hmm. You know, 38%. He's in that Angels rotation right now. There's not like there's other guys knocking down the door. Skaggs just went on the DL. Yep. So the opportunity is there. And as I mentioned before, you have to take risk. You got to take chances.
So you don't think that he's like going to just like become like a streamer at some point? Like
he could blow up next week. I'm not like uber confident that J.C. Ramirez has arrived.
It's like a Chad Kuehl time.
Is he going to be in the rotation?
He's going to be in the rotation. Skaggs to the DL. You got Gary Richards on the 60-day DL. Bud Norris, who might have been somebody that could have stepped into the rotation. He's closing games for them now. So like I said, sometimes, you know, some of the moves we make in like waiver wire moves or fab or whatever, we're taking a shot on people. We're not so smart that we know this guy is going to turn in. Like a couple of years ago, I got J.D. Martinez for $9. Wanted to be like the greatest waiver wire move ever. You know, but was I supremely... Did I think the guy was going to, you know, become that J.D. Martinez? No.
He's looking...
When
I mean,
look at the advanced numbers...
Looks good.
Coming into last night, 10.08 Ks per 9. The strand rate was low. It's not like it's high. His ERA was 4.23. The WHIP was 3.17. So there's not like anything in advanced numbers that's
pointing to who are we talking about?
Ramirez.
But you got to look at Ramirez's last three starts as a starter. He's got a WHIP of 0.96.
Saying it's good.
Yeah, no, I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't even want to see what he did in relief. Supposedly, there's two pitches that he worked on. He's improved. He wasn't a guy that was on my radar at all. And I scour a ton of pitches. And like I said, you know, you some of these guys will work out and maybe even beat their advanced metrics at times. I mean, like Derek Holland, who Scott brought up before. He's got, what, a 2.12 ERA? He's got like a 4.17 FIP. Cole Hamels, 3.03 ERA, a 5.12 FIP or something like that.
Yeah, Ramirez's FIP is lower than his ERA.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's, you know, but it's a very small sample. Like, if this guy was to blow up over the next month, it's part of the risk.
100%. It wouldn't surprise me to see him blow it up this week, next week, whenever. But since moving into the starting rotation, there's absolutely been some success with J.C. Ramirez and this Angels team, who, by the way, as a Kenta Jozian owner, I'm very nervous. I am.
Oh, I would be, just because of the Mike Socia factor. I mean, I did get Bud Norris in multiple leagues once, you know, he became available that first weekend. And I really, honestly, you know, it's Bud Norris. So you're never too confident. But Bud Norris, last five appearances, five saves. He's faced 19 total batters, struck out 9 of them. It's pretty damn good.
Well, and maybe the reason I'm so upset about it is because Bud Norris is there. I let him go. I was just like, you know what? It doesn't seem like a serious injury to me. I think he'll be okay. I don't know that Bud Norris is the guy. It's Mike Socia, whatever. And now I feel like there's a chance they're going to let Bedrosian pitch the 7th and the 8th and let Norris do closing.
Yeah, and all these other guys that were supposed to be the closer for the Angels, including Bedrosian, you know, keep getting hurt.
Yeah, 100%.
I think what's changed in the fantasy baseball landscape is you can no longer be that person to say, you know what, I'm going to wait and see.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's not. You have to go out there and be aggressive get guys.
Yeah. I was talking with Tony about this morning. Last night in the Greenwich Street Tavern League, after Heckner Ruiz gave up back-to-back-to-back home runs on Saturday night, last night I picked up Joaquin Benoit for $76. And then with Fernando Rodney starting to fall apart, I picked up J.J. Hoover for $66.
I'm glad you mentioned that, but I'm confident that J.J. Hoover's not the guy. J.J. Hoover's the wrong guy. Someone in my league did that too. Someone, with Fernando Rodney be struggling, someone ran up and picked up J.J. Hoover. And I've actually really paid attention to this Diamondbacks situation. And J.J. Hoover's pitching the 6th or the 7th. He's not the guy. The guy's Archie Bradley.
Yeah, I think it's Archie Bradley, too. I know people are going to say they need him in the rotation. But this is a guy that, him and like Dylan Bundy a couple of years back were like the two top-rated guys that were going to, you know. Why take this guy out of something where he is succeeding?
In a monster way right now.
You know, the Greinke's looking really good. I tweeted out last week, I did highlight his two starts versus the Padres. Against the Rockies, he pitched really well. He pitched 6 innings. He did allow, I don't mind the solo homer. He allowed 3.
I agree with that.
He allowed 3 of them, which is a bit much for one game. But 9 strikeouts, 2 walks. You got to be supremely happy if you're a Greinke owner. And getting back to Hector Neris. The dude has faced 26 batters in his last 4 1/3 innings. He's got 2 saves. That's great. 11 hits, 7 runs, 7 earned, 4 homers, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts.
I'm going to tell you,
it's not good. To the Hoover point,
yes.
Real quick, it's, look, you guys could be right on Bradley, but the reports are saying Hoover's the next guy to take this job.
The reports are wrong.
I don't blame Scott, though, for taking a chance on him.
I need the closer. Ultimately, could it turn out to be Bradley? Because I've seen Hoover try to do it with Cincinnati before and fall apart.
Yeah.
If Hoover's going to get the shot, I have to have him on my roster.
Scott's doing the right thing.
Let me give you this. I'll use yesterday as the prime example of it. Patrick Corbin pitches 6 1/3. Scoreless, right? Yesterday? Mm-hmm. J.J. Hoover gets the last 2 outs of the 7th inning.
Right.
8th inning, Jorge De La Rosa goes on and strikes at the side. That's a name to watch, too, by the way. Jorge De La Rosa. 9th inning. Tie game. 0-0. In the 9th, you bring in your closer. That's like the unwritten rule of baseball, right? Who comes in? Archie Bradley.
I put it on Twitter yesterday. What are the odds that Archie Bradley is closing for the Diamondbacks on June 1st? And then later on, I quoted it by saying, albeit in a scoreless tie, you know, scoreless game, he did pitch the 9th. So, I mean,
And Archie Bradley in my lineup in the auction league this week.
Archie Bradley was not available, so I had to go after Hoover.
No, no, you didn't do anything wrong, Scott.
I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying that Archie Bradley, I think, is the guy.
Look, if I had the roster spot, there was nobody, and I could afford to get rid of somebody. Scott's not the only person. There's plenty of people in the NFBC that were picking up J.J. Hoover this weekend.
Yeah, no, he went last night, too.
Yep. You got to speculate.
$50.
Maybe they say, we want to use Bradley as the Andrew Miller guy, and they give Hoover that shot. That could very well happen. I'm with Greg thinking that it's going to be Archie Bradley, but, you know, don't know.
Would you drop Brad Brock, considering Britton should be back tomorrow? Would you drop Brad Brock for Archie Bradley right now?
Yes.
I think I'd have to. As much as I really like Brad Brock, and I do want to see Zach Britton pitch for like a week or two. I would like to keep Brock on my team.
But, yeah.
You know, you got to make hard decisions.
If it's one or the other, I want the guy getting saves. I'd like to keep Brock as that Kyle Bearclaw, Dellin Betances middle reliever if I can, but you can't always do that.
You got to say something?
Yeah. The guy, J.J. Hoover, he went in the auction league last night in Fab for $50. The runner-up bid was zero.
You're going to have that, you know, and you really, when you bid on these things, you got to get the guys you want. I remember talking to Tony last August. We were battling it out between third and fourth place in the auction league.
Yeah.
And it was the night of the Fantasy Cup, and it was like, oh, I spent $200 on Gary Sanchez. And the next bid was $12.
Right? Yeah.
And I told him, I said, Tony, it doesn't matter. You got your guy. You can't look at that. And then what happened? Harry Sanchez
goes off. So now, last night in the auction league, the highest bid was on Michael Taylor.
Yeah, Michael Taylor was some crazy GST money.
Yeah.
You remember Michael Taylor, when he won the Arizona Fall League MVP? They threw the Gatorade on him. I was standing right next to him. And I got wet, too. With the Gatorades.
Michael Taylor went for like $341 in one of my leagues.
He went for $363 last night. Yeah. And then your boy, Delino DeShields, went for $125.
Yeah, I was trying to get Delino DeShields back. I'm not going to lie. I threw in a bid of like $76. I knew that I wasn't going to win him, but I was so bitter.
Patience.
100%. And you feel
I went against my own words. I knew it.
And you feel really bad for a guy like Adam Eaton to tear his ACL.
Yeah, that's sad.
As I retweeted a inside injuries thing.
Oh, I saw that.
The fact that, you know, it's his ACL, his MCL, and a high ankle sprain. He's like 9 months away.
Yeah, no, he's going
to
be a while.
They put a thing where they're going to have to even be cautious with him next spring training.
Yeah, because I did read some things on Twitter like, hey, Kyle Schwarber came back from ACL tear, similar time for the World Series. Very, very different. Schwarber obviously is only DH. He only hit the ball. Eaton destroyed this knee.
Nah, he's messed up pretty bad. He's in a lot of pain too, because we were talking with Doc last week, especially that high ankle pain. It creates so much pain. So he's in a real bad shape right now. I hope he feels better. I'm gonna put his name in the prayer box.
Getting back to this Texas game, I think a guy we need to touch upon.
Yeah.
Who I still like going forward.
Carlos Gomez. Yeah.
Before we get to Gomez, the guy who hits right in front of him, Nomar Mazara. The first 2 weeks, the dude was like locked in on fire. The last 2 weeks, his last 50 plate appearances, batting 109 with an 022 ISO.
That's Scott's guy.
He's down to 229.
So. That's Scott's guy.
Yeah.
So looking at Nolan Rizzo, you know, the first 2 weeks, I felt like an idiot for not going after him, and he finishes the month, as Matt just mentioned, in this brutal slump. When do we expect this to turn around here, Scotty? I know he's your guy.
I think he's going to turn it around pretty soon.
What are you seeing?
I think it's just a cold streak, and like by the middle of May, he can be heating up again.
Look, he has three hits since April 18th.
Yeah, look, it's a slump. His main problem, the main problem with Mazara is left-handed pitching, and once he can figure that out, I think this kid's future is extremely bright, and he's a guy that is going to be one of the top players.
In the 15-team mix, is he on the bench?
I don't know. I don't know if
I could see benching him right now, but
depends. If you have somebody else, who's the option?
In the 12-team mix, he's probably
benchable.
Now, let's say your other options like Andrew Tolles.
I'm probably going to ride with Mazara. I mean, you know, I just think if he gets hot for that one, you know, four-game stretch. I mean, we didn't even touch on Rugi, too. We got to...
We got a lot to do, a lot of baseball. We're going to come back. We're going to hear from Daniel Murphy, Washington Nationals, as we go to Roto Experts at the Park right after this here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. experts in the morning. Roto experts at the park. We do it every single day at 8:55 in the morning. Today we get the opportunity to hear from Daniel Murphy, Scotty.
Yeah, and Murphy off to another good start this season, and guy who spends a lot of time exploring advanced statistics and sabermetrics on fan graphs, etc. And here he spoke about about how he studies exit velocity, and he also spoke to Ryan Zimmerman a lot of, during the offseason about this kind of stuff, but takes no credit for the way Ryan has started so well.
I was reading, though, like, you know, you look at stuff like exit velocity and launch angle and things like that.
Yeah, I look at stuff like that. Yeah, I'll look into things like that. You know, it's something that I like to look at personally. You know, I feel like it helps me. But again, I think it's unique to the individual.
I read where you also, like, we're talking that kind of stuff over with Ryan Zimmerman. He's off to a great start. Like, he's worked on changing his launch angle, like, during the off season, and he was talking with you.
Yeah, I'll take zero credit for the way Ryan's swinging the bat right now. He's been some kind of locked in. Hit a huge home run for us yesterday. Had great at bats all day. He's had great at bats since I've seen him in spring training. It's just carried into the season, and he's been fun to watch. But I'll put on record as I take zero credit for the way Ryan's swinging the bat right now.
There you go, Daniel Murphy. No credit, of course, for what Ryan Zimmerman is doing. But Daniel Murphy with the hot start. Does Murphy remember you from the Mets days, Scott?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it was a good guy to always talk to. A lot of people think he should be a hitting coach after he finishes playing, just for the way he said. It's interesting because, like, I think when Harper was facing Edgen on Saturday, Murphy walked out to the dugout to the on-deck circle with him with a tablet to, like, show him some actually studied things he'd study on the opposing pitcher.
That's really interesting. Now, you see the tablets, of course, in use in football during the game. I haven't seen it in use during baseball games yet.
Yeah, Murphy came out of the dugout with a tablet.
Is that legal?
I get nobody said anything, so I guess it's not illegal.
That's so interesting. No, not yet, it's not. But, you know, but to me, what you're talking about, Scott, is really using the advanced metric approach during games, hitters acknowledging it, not just front office guys or hitting coaches. It's actually hitters talking about exit velocity. It's showing the angles off the bat to Daniel Murphy or Bryce Harper or whatnot. I just think it's a totally new approach to the game, and it's really, really interesting.
Yeah, and it's interesting because if you listen to these or any of the other Nationals interviews I've done on demand, Ryan Zimmerman says, like, I wasn't always a fan of the sabermetrics, but over the last few years, I've, you know, grown to adopt it more.
Absolutely. Now, if you want to hear the full Ryan Zimmerman interview, you can do that. You can go to rotoexperts.com. You can go listen to the interviews on demand, Audio Boom, on iTunes, wherever you listen to the podcast. Of course, certainly on our app too, at Fantasy Radio. It's all there. Scott's full, uninterrupted, unedited interview. It's uncensored, which means some crazy stuff goes down. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more baseball to talk about. I have to question Matt and Kevin Kiermaier, no doubt. A lot more Rangers to get into. Carlos Gomez has turned it around. I also got a trade offer in the league. I got to run by the guy. Stick around. There is more Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside the King, Scott Engel, CTM Baseball's Matt Modica, and the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson. My name is Greg Sussman. What's going on, Corey?
I'm just looking at the Twitter, and I see where Ryan Seacrest is going to be.
Oh, I saw. I had a reaction earlier, yeah.
And Ryan Seacrest is going to be Kelly Ripa's new co-host.
Amazing.
That's
amazing.
Pretty cool.
It's amazing Ryan Seacrest has done everything.
Yeah.
With every network. I don't know what's left for him to do.
You know how Ryan Seacrest got his start?
He's a DJ.
We had a dude that he was spinning records or whatever, and then a dude that was hosting it, like
Ryan Dunkelman,
just didn't show up one day.
Well, he just, he, well, that's not really what happened. Basically, their two co-hosts of American Idol, Ryan Seacrest and Brian Dunkelman. And after the season one, they tried to get both of them back. And Dunkelman's like, listen, I don't want to be pigeonholed into this American Idol style thing. I got other
terrible
stuff
career move.
I got other stuff I want to do.
I'm talking when he was on the radio, though.
Oh, really?
When he was first started his first broadcast.
His radio career.
His radio career started with him just like the dude that was like didn't show up.
So he was like, we need someone to fill in?
And they was like, the only person here is you, jackass.
Yeah, but Dick Clark taught him well. He taught him to own all the shows, and that's why, like, you know, he's, all those shows on E, he owns them all, and that's
smart.
Absolutely. He's doing a good job. Shout out to Ryan Seacrest.
I know there's a couple of Ranger things you wanted to get to, Matt, before we move on to another game. One of them was Carlos Gomez. The other one's Rafael Odor. So, take it.
Yeah, I mean, Carlos Gomez, it's another reason why, you know, you got to be patient. He was struggling the first couple of weeks, looking really bad. I mean, even though he's batting .245, you know, what has he got? 4 homers, 3 RBIs, playing much better of late. Rougned Odor is a guy, you know, was first couple of games, was hitting home runs, and he really hasn't done much since.
Yeah, interesting with Gomez, because when I did my insider reports in the preseason for Roto Experts, you know, I spoke to insider over at the Rangers, and they're like, you know, Gomez is going to flourish. They got a lot of confidence in him because Adrian Beltre really took him in under the wing last year, and he feels very comfortable in this clubhouse, whereas he didn't feel that way in Milwaukee.
What's the latest with Adrian Beltre? When can I put him in my lineup?
Because we don't know. We don't have a return date.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
The entire month of May.
It's going to be later than sooner, from like as Scott said. And the one last guy I really want to focus on here is, like, Joey Gallo has the ability to bat like .220 or just above that, and actually hit like 30 homers, steal 15 bases, and that'd be quite amazing.
Chris Carter with speed.
But I'm saying, yeah, like, yeah, you expect the power, but if he gets like 15 stolen bases,
100%. Chris Carter with speed is not a terrible one. All right, so there you go. There's Gomez. There's Odor. I gotta ask you about your guy Kevin Kiermaier now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do this. You have to see this coming too.
Oh, without a doubt. And
because Kevin Kiermaier, I read the stat over the weekend, and it's gotten worse since I read the stat. But at one point over the weekend, he was 1-for-30. He was 1-for-30 in his last 31 at bats with legitimately like 20 strikeouts in that time. He has really, really struggled since coming off that flu. And yesterday, for instance, Kiermaier, another 0-for-4 performance, 3 more strikeouts. The exact total, this is not a good number, my friend. The exact total on the year, Kevin Kiermaier has 29 total bases on the year and 32 strikeouts. He has more strikeouts than total bases.
He's not feeling good, though.
He's hitting .036 over the last week.
He has been horrific. He started out the first week really good, then had a horrific second week, got back on track, and it's gone totally south. What I will say is, shout out to Billy Hayes on Twitter.
Yeah.
He tweeted out, are people really giving up on Kevin Kiermaier on May 1st? There's no way in hell I'm giving up on this kid. Maybe he should be dropped in the Rays lineup. Just to, for instance, totally different player, but just to show you something. Last April, Mike Napoli was batting about .204, had like 4 homers. He finished the season, let's say 34 homers. I mean, how many RBIs? He turned out to be a hell of a player last year, even though he batted terribly. You know, he didn't really give you average, but maybe mid-230s. But you can't be giving up on players. I believe in Kevin Kiermaier. I'm no way in hell am I cutting Kevin Kiermaier.
He needs some vitamin
C. You can put him on a bench in a 12-team league. He's not a guy that I'm going to cut.
And this, everything gets magnified in the first month. He hit .143 last July. And, you know, nobody talked about it. Right now,
I would say nobody talked about that. I don't think that's fair.
No, not like this. You know what I'm saying? Nobody put a magnifying glass on it like this. So far, he's really struggling against lefties. .176 with 2 RBIs. But Kiermaier's a good player. He's going to turn around.
I mean, he's going to play every day just on based on defense.
Not if he's not feeling good.
It's true.
Not if he's not feeling good.
So why do I still own Kevin Kiermaier and Keon Broxton? I don't
know. Because Kiermaier has a sore throat.
Well, I mean, Byron Buxton was cut in one of my leagues, and he went for like $300-something. I bid
$233. Why? Byron Buxton stinks!
You didn't get back on that.
I agree with that.
You're crazy. You're both crazy. Take a break. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming up next. What the hell is going on here?
Get him on the show.
I knew it. It was 9 days. I knew it. Oh, man. You get me, Pomona. You really do. It's Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott, what are you watching?
There was this kid who's a Met fan, and Daily News posted this video of a young Met fan went on a profanity laced tirade.
I want to get him in studio.
It's gone viral.
I want to get him in studio. Yeah. We have to get him in studio. I'm going to shake his hand.
Reach out to him.
We're going to get him out.
I can tell you what he said without the curses.
You know,
we can get him in studio.
It's just a Met fan complaining. We had one of those already on the show. Yeah. Hey, by the way,
he's not like 14 years old, where it's kind of startling.
By the way, I finally made a move in the league. To pick up my guy. I made the move. I picked up Hernan Perez. I did it. I was really excited.
The Brewers have a good week upcoming in terms of hitting. Check out Tim McCullough's weekly plan on rotoexperts.com, part of your in-season exclusive edge package at the free radio checkout for a special discount. But Tim was saying you definitely want to get Perez in the lineup this week. It's a very friendly offensive week for the Brewers.
What week isn't friendly offensively for the Brewers at this point?
Are you in talks to acquire your other boy, Odubel Herrera?
I haven't tried because the one person that owns him is not going to trade him to me because he knows how badly I want him. But I have another talks, which we'll get to in a second. So the Brewers yesterday, they beat my guy Mike Fultonevich on a home run after freaking Dansby Swanson. Let's
like
choke.
Fultonevich has got no run support. He's allowed two runs or less earned in all of his starts.
Yeah, Fultonevich has pitched really well. Yeah. I know he's 0-3, but the ERA at 2.81 looks really good. He's pitched well this season.
That's my guy.
Domingo Santana had two home runs yesterday. There was all of the damage against Fultonevich. And Santana was 2-for-4 with two homers. Still batting under .200 despite this game. That's how bad he has been. But Santana's got speed. He's got power. He's a commodity.
He's the type of guy where you say, look, it's only May 1st because the BABIP has been incredibly low.
Yeah, and it's the Milwaukee Brewers. Like, they want Domingo Santana and Keon Broxton to succeed. You got to be patient. I have him in a couple leagues. In one league, I benched him from Monday to Thursday, and he went right back in on Friday. So thankfully, I had him rested.
There you go. Keon Broxton stole his sixth base of the year. Now, Broxton last week actually had a pretty solid week for him. He was 4-for-16, stole three bags, which is pretty good. No power though. Did have more strikeouts than total bases, which isn't great. But besides that, you know, things are all there.
You'll take three stolen bases in a week. That's good.
No doubt.
That was getting Eric Ibar picked up on the free agent list in a lot of leagues last night.
That's a positive for young Mr. Broxton. The 191 batting average is a negative. Six bags. He got on base four times. He sold three times.
He had four hits. He got on base more than that.
Oh, remember how every day we just constantly spoke of Eric Thames, Eric Thames, Eric Thames. You want to know who the guy who
I put it
didn't
in the
get
net.
The credit and was my player of the month? Is Ryan the guy, Ryan Zimmerman. Ryan Zimmerman is outdoing Eric Thames.
Sure.
He's batting 420. He's got as many homers. It's just amazing.
The recent road trip to Colorado, him and Trey Turner both hit over 450 with extra base hits, and Zimmerman had 15 RBIs on that road trip.
How about that? And Ryan Braun's another one who's really been hot. And Braun's a name we got to mention because he left this game, and he doesn't think it's serious, but this is one of those nagging injuries that you always expect and wait for with Ryan Braun, Scotty. And well, it's happened. You had no Travis Shaw yesterday who's out with an injury, and now Ryan Braun says it's not going to be one day. It's going to be a couple of days, but he thinks he can avoid the 10-day DL. Coming from someone that lives in New York and watches the stupid Mets constantly, just put Ryan Braun on the 10-day DL, live without him for 10 days, and move on. Ryan Braun, once again, banged up.
Yeah, this happens with Braun here and there, but he's pitched really well when he's in the lineup. Right trapezius muscle, like you said, he said he's not going to go on the DL, but his quote, I'm going to miss a few days.
If you're going to miss a few days, why not just be on the DL?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
What's the what's the trapezius muscle? Where's that at?
You're the one who has a skeleton. Why don't you ask Jeff?
Jeff, where's your trapezius muscle at?
Jeff's still sleeping.
The cat got his tongue.
I mean, if you flip over to the other side, a guy who just seems to never get enough, he's like the redhead stepchild of fantasy, is Mr. Matt Kemp.
The trapezius muscle is like in your back, by the way.
That's going to hurt.
It's in the top of your back, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Jeff, turn around.
Stop looking at Jeff Butt.
he's being shy this morning.
Yeah.
I didn't really have one.
You should have seen what Benny was trying to do to him the other day.
What were you trying to do to Benny?
Oh, whatever.
Jesus, you guys.
All right, let's go.
Bernard Perez, right now, played every day. They're finding a spot in the lineup for him every day. Scotty, is Hernan Perez someone that we should be starting right now in fantasy leagues?
I think a 15-team league for sure, and like 10-teamer, you're not going to get in there. 12-teamer, maybe not. But, you know, he's hitting right now, okay, .262. He's super utility. They're finding a way to get his bat in the lineup because he's a spark plug.
Does a little bit of everything, Matt.
Yeah, he's a guy like in a daily daily moves league. He's like gold because you can see when he start and you can plug him in, play him. I mean, he should be owned in 15 teams. You'd love to have a guy like this.
Yeah, I went after him in both my 15 team leagues over the weekend, and he was not available. And I was just like, how did I miss this guy? I love this guy. How did I miss this?
It's very, very hard in those 15 team leagues.
It certainly is. Yeah. Hey, on Saturday, Matt Kemp went boom three times. Yes. And Kemp is, I was talking about this with a buddy yesterday. He's just underappreciated at this point.
He is.
I think Scotty, you and I talked about it. Like, we noticed it back in the spring. Like, I was very anti Matt Kemp, and you kind of was like, why? And you tried. And he did that thing where you call me out, and you're right, because Matt Kemp was just somebody that, you know, he struggled because he was fat in San Diego. And then once he like lost his weight and dumped Rihanna, like things really like turned his
way. You know what he did? He became a professional athlete.
You're right.
It's the difference between being a ball player and a professional athlete. He became a professional athlete.
That's actually a really good point. Like he wasn't just resting on his laurels. He was working out and he was getting better shape, and now he's really,
yeah,
really
hitting. He was very happy to come home to Atlanta, and you know, he's enjoying himself there. He's supposedly, like, he wasn't happy in San Diego, and now he's happy. The speed is not there anymore, but the batting average and power certainly is.
Well, he's a little older, so that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, what he did last season, if you go back and take a look, when he was in San Diego, Will Myers went dog shit crazy. And then same thing happened with Freddie Freeman when he came to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the Matt Kemp effect was real last year. And batting fourth, you got Freddie Freeman. Whoever bats second in that Braves lineup is a person of interest. I know Adonis Garcia went 0-for-4 yesterday. But if he's going to be filling in that spot while Phillips is hurt, he's a guy to look at, too.
Can we really call Adonis Garcia a person of interest?
If he bats second, a guy who batted .270 and hit 15 home runs last year is not a person of interest if he's batting second in front of Freddie Freeman. If you're playing in a 15 team league, you have no desire for that guy.
Yeah, but I'm not a Garcia guy. I am a Kemp guy, and I'm definitely an Ender Inciarte guy. The average is just .230 right now, but I think it's going
to
push.
He's on my team.
Well, to me, this is like we've seen guys in like the Brewers lineup, right? Like, we loved the fact that you had Eric Thames and Ryan Braun. Like, who was behind them? That's why we really loved Travis Shaw. Like, I think this spot in the lineup is interesting given how hot Inciarte has been. Freeman kept behind him. Like, that guy in the two hole. There's another one who is just. I'm forgetting now that's in that two hole that's like in this great spot. And I think Garcia, and I don't really love Adonis Garcia either, but in that spot, it just creates value, I think.
Yeah, Inciarte's been on and off, but I think he's going to be on again soon.
Well, I mean, Inciarte started the first week of the season like god awful. Yeah,
more power than we expected, too.
Yeah, he's got 7 stolen bases now. I mean, you want an average. If you look at Inciarte post All-Star break last season, he was a hell of a player.
Yeah, he was. I know he was owned everywhere at the end of the season last year when it was all said and done. Now, you asked me a couple seconds ago, Matt, like, at what point can I go try the trade for my man Odubel Herrera? And, of course, he hit a home run yesterday. And this is third of the year. And I don't know when. I'm going to text him, the guy, right now, give him a month in and be like, hey, it's a month in. Can I trade for him yet and see what he says? But at this point, I know it's not June 1st, Scott, where you've pointed out to me that now I can start being concerned about players, you said in the past, at least. But I know that my pitching, even though I read it to Matt before, like, this isn't bad, I know I need to improve it. I'd like to improve it. So I got a trade offer yesterday. I wanted to throw out to you guys. You know, we have about a minute left. I wanted you to at least drink it in. I own Carlos Santana in this OBP league. Someone offered me Carlos Santana for a Met. Carlos Santana for Matt Harvey was the trade offer. So, gentlemen, specifically the Met fans, of course, what do you guys think?
That has nothing to do with my decision. I would in an OBP league, I would want Carlos Santana.
I mean, OBP, yeah, Carlos Santana. I really don't own Matt Harvey. I hope Matt Harvey's really good, but...
The Met fan! I think he just wants nothing to do with more Mets. I think that's what it is. He's like, you know what? I don't want to do this Met thing anymore. And then the OBP thing, I'll keep on Carlos Santana. Hey, more Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
No dish from it. A little soul clap, Scotty. Return of the mat.
Right?
Is that it? There you go, right there, Sus Mania.
There was actually recently, I know this is like every 2 years or so, Corey. I recently heard a Return of the Mac remix, like redone, or like sampled or whatever. It's pretty awesome.
Which one?
A Return of the Mac remix or a song that like sampled Return of the Mac.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope.
Cool.
You don't really care.
All right. I like it though.
Yeah, I should play. I gotta find that on Spotify and play it for you. It was pretty dope. I feel like you got a lot of thoughts going through your head.
I'm trying to figure out who we could be. I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out who we could be.
I'll look on Spotify during the break and try to figure it out for you. I mentioned right before the break Carlos Santana, and both of you guys said I should not trade him away from Matt Harvey. And no, Corey, it sounds like you
agree. Ridiculous.
And this is an OBP league. Yeah, people know.
It is an OBP league, but you know, look at the pitching because my pitching's struggling. Yeah, Corey, you think Amir Garrett's gonna pitch well tonight?
Excuse me.
You think Amir Garrett's gonna pitch well tonight?
I hope so. That's one of the first things I saw Pittsburgh. This morning. I was like, oh, come on, Pittsburgh. You got to get it back together.
Rebound against Pittsburgh.
You got to get it rolling again for me, baby.
That Pittsburgh lineup is shaky. I think it can rebound.
Yeah, I hope so.
Shout out to Josh Bell in that Pittsburgh lineup. He's been getting it done.
Yeah, Josh Bell's a name that like I asked pretty much everybody about during the spring training because I thought he was like a former top prospect. I thought he was a guy that people were going to be interested in because he was young. He played first base. He could play every day. He bats two. We love the two hitters. And Bell was not someone that a lot of people were behind. Now, through a month in the year, he's got four home runs. The OBP sits at 358. I know the average is 100 points lower. But Josh Bell has done a little bit of everything, Scotty.
Yeah, I think from the fantasy community in general, there wasn't a lot of perceived upside there. This is like a late corner infield type of pick. And, you know, he's put up some pretty decent production. He really didn't pay much for Josh Bell, so you got to be happy.
Yeah, over his last 40-plus plate appearances, he's just been totally locked in. There's a lot of Babbitt fueled, but still. I mean, the OPS is over 1,000. He's hitting home runs. And one thing I was skeptical on was if the power was going to play out. I know he's a strong kid, but, you know, we haven't seen that in the minors. But you know he's feeling good, and you know if you got him, he was a guy that was available in 15 teamers over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. People gave up on him after the first two, and I know in a couple of weeks with like Chris Vaccaro, we scooped him up.
Do you think he's going to work his way to a better spot in the batting order?
I gotta think so. I mean, especially with Sterling Marte. I mean, that just kills the Pirates. I mean, that was like something the Pirates just
and ill Polanco's for. Been slumping too.
Yeah, Polanco's been quiet. The only thing Polanco's really done for you is give you some stolen bases. But as Scott said, he's been very quiet.
Yeah, and you look at Bell like from the minor league numbers. Like, what did you really expect? Like, you know, he can hit 260 maybe with about 18 homers, and he didn't spend a lot of money for that.
Yeah, he does have a fantastic. He's got really
probably good hit 280.
He's got I'd give him
a 268 hitter.
Yeah, but you know he's still young. I give these. I'm not saying he's gonna be a batting champ, but he does have good plate discipline. I'll say that.
Yeah, he's 24. If you're right.
Yeah, it's still young.
Yeah,
you know, still young. Pittsburgh, we're going to talk more about them on the Fantasy BFFs, which is live today on YouTube. It will be every single day going forward. Get pumped for that.
Very nice.
Get very, very excited for that. But you look at Pittsburgh. I know you started Chad Kuhl in the gang yesterday, Scott. I've been somebody that's been on Chad Kuhl. I know he left a couple runs yesterday, so only two of them were earned. Left this game hurt. How significant is this?
I don't think we're going to know till later today, but it was a bad week for Kuhl. He got bombed, you know, early last week, and then Yesterday, four innings pitched, seven hits and one walk. He allowed eight base runners on 73 pitches. So he was laboring this week, but I still have some optimism about going forward. You know, like my friend Matt Modica says here, you know, this is a guy you want to be your sixth, seventh pitcher. So
Modica's not your friend.
I don't think it's for you to say, so why don't you shut up and go back on Facebook?
I'm on RotoWire, not Facebook.
I don't think it should be on RotoExpert, you traitor.
Sorry. I was looking at something.
Not much there, but go ahead, Greg.
No problem. Yeah. Marcelo Ozuna is another name that seemingly has been underrated throughout April. I know it was 3-4 yesterday. Finishes the month batting .295, the OBP at .357. Yes, Scott?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I don't know if he's underrated. David Schoenfeld of ESPN, what it was a week ago, said this guy could be the next Cespedes.
Well, I'm glad David Schoenfeld said that, but not everybody reads David Schoenfeld. Like me.
I do.
That's great. I hadn't seen it before.
It was a headline on ESPN. Could Ozuna be the next Cespedes?
Well, there you go. I mean, Ozuna to me is still a name that the fantasy community is not talking about loudly enough, despite how hot he was. Even your boy yesterday, Justin Bour, got hot, Scott, with his fourth home run of the year. Bour all the way up to .222.
Yeah, he's
six yesterday.
He's streaky. So I'm going to get him in the lineup this weekend. In 2 weeks, he's going to be out.
That seemingly makes the most
Ozuna
sense.
Ozuna bad bip is .385.
It could be worse. I mean, it could be like higher.
He's really like a .275 hitter, not .295.
Well, this is fine. Seeing he drops 20 points is okay. Yeah. Hey,
I think his main problem is he's just got to put it together for a whole season. It's been injury, demotion.
Yeah, last year he was playing so well before the wrist injury.
So that's the whole cue for him.
It is indeed. So Aaron Sanchez comes back, and Aaron Sanchez leaves again. Had a major blister issue, and then had a little bit of a procedure to remove like part of the nail on his finger, and then all of a sudden he came back, and then his finger hurt again. He's going to be pissed off at whoever did this surgery. Aaron Sanchez, if you drafted him, you put him back in your lineup yesterday, it did not go well for you.
These blister things are really becoming a problem. It's really like a major nuisance. And I mean, there's nothing you can do. You know, if you have Sanchez, you got to start him, especially against Tampa Bay's lineup. And you know, you just got dealt a bad hand yesterday.
Yeah, they were talking about him.
Like, a bad hand, blister.
Talking about him as a real sleeper, and then he had a really bad spring too.
Well, I don't think he's a real sleeper. He had an awesome year last year.
Yeah.
Like, he was amazing last year. So I don't know how much of a sleeper he was, but if you drafted him and you expected him to give you the stats he gave you last year, you're getting crushed right now.
There were a lot of fantasy analysts who, like, didn't believe it. Like, he could do it again.
Right.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe he'd be like a .350 or .360 ERA. I don't know if he was going to be as good as he was last year, but I still thought he could be good. But I was impressed by Archer pitching good on the road. That's always...
Which we always are looking for. Archer's 7 1/3, 5 strikeouts. He only let up 1 run.
No win, though.
Alex Colomé comes out, and he does not pitch well.
Yeah, I mean, Colomé, don't like to see that, especially...
Second-blown save.
No.
But, you know, I mean, hey... It happens. What are you going to do?
Yes, it does indeed happen, because Colomé is not losing his job. That is most definitely safe at this point. I do also want to get in for a moment to something you guys touched on before the break a second ago, and that was Byron Buxton. You said Byron Buxton was dropped in places, Matt, and he tried to spend a good chunk of change to pick him up. Yesterday, he scored 2 runs. He was 1-for-3. Didn't even strike out. Now he's batting .147. Stole his third base of the year. Why are you believing?
Because we saw what he did last September. If you want to write that off, okay, that's fine. But one thing, the one tool we have yet to see on the major league level, really, is Buxton's speed. Buxton has like Olympic-style speed. This dude can run like the wind. And if he can ever, you know, get some plate discipline, he's still 23 years old. It's an extreme talent. He does have pop in his bat. And in a 15-team league, I will definitely take a chance on a player like this.
He can run like the wind. He also creates a lot of wind with the strikeouts. But, you know, Buxton, for all the reasons that you mentioned, he's got a ton of talent and stuff like that. But I just don't see it happening this year.
Scott don't like players that strike out a lot.
Yeah, I don't like players that strike out a lot, too. But, you know, it's It's the end of April. We're saying to some guys, we still got to be a little patient. He had a very nice September. This kid is not going back down to the minors. The Twins need him to get better. And I think there's just too much talent there. I think 20 stolen bases is a very good possibility. And if he gets any correction with his plate discipline, 30's a lock.
Yeah, all the talent's there. I agree with you, and he's probably not going to go down to the minors, but this just might be like an all-season type of struggle.
I just think he's only going to get better.
I mean, he's got talent, but I feel like he's a year away.
I'm going to buy low on the Buxton
Bear. Look, in a 15-team league, I can't say I disagree with it necessarily. You got to take the shot. I think there's a lot more struggles for the kid going forward.
But if all, you know, you said you can't, he's going to get better. I feel like it can't get much worse, given what we've had.
I mean, they showed a thing where now he's, I think, with the UZR rating, the fielding, I think he surpassed Kevin Kiermaier.
I saw that yesterday.
So that's
in the field. In the field, he's been really good.
Well, that's my other point.
Yeah.
By just doing that alone, and the fact that Minnesota needs this kid to succeed, he's pretty much entrenching himself. So hopefully, you got to think at some point, the talent wins out. And my thing is, where he becomes valuable is he doesn't have to hit, you know, a ton of homers. He doesn't have to hit 310. It's if he can steal the bases where you will get that.
What's his final batting average?
Say he bats 230 and steals 30 bases. Well, he's batting 147 right now. So that's a nice.
The average is 100 points.
Billy Hamilton. Okay. Half of Billy Hamilton.
You're paying him, what, a fifth round price for Billy Hamilton to steal you 70 to 90 bases?
I wouldn't
write off Billy Hamilton just yet. I mean, the guy's got 10 stolen bases in a month.
Messing with these 230 hitters.
But he steals 10 bases, though.
Scott don't like... I've been doing the show with Scott for 7 years. Scott do not like people that drag down his batting average. You're not going to talk him into it. Period.
That's a good philosophy to have. I can't knock that. I mean, the Twins got some other players I think people should be interested in as well.
Like who? Yeah.
Kenny Vargas. If this guy ever gets the opportunity, a long shot addition, this is a guy that does have 30 home run power in his bat. I've got him on a couple of leagues.
I picked him up last night.
I tried getting him on another one, and I just missed out. You know, small bids you're putting in.
I put a dollar make it holler. I got him for a buck, yeah.
Could really turn into some power. I mean, Miguel Sano is just crushing it.
I'm waiting for Jorge Polanco to start doing something.
And he's batting 253. He's played well. He's played well.
Yes.
It's football related.
Well, it's football after the break, so I mean, that's going to be good.
I don't know. Polanco's got like one home run, 12 RBIs.
How many RBIs? I mean,
12.
Not a lot of shortstops got more RBIs than I can tell you that right now without looking.
That's it for the baseball here today. We're going to come back. It was a draft, of course, over the weekend. Corey did such a phenomenal job with the coverage. Now, Matt, you participated in a draft with him on Saturday. Let's get into the second, third day of the NFL draft. Let's go over the NFL news. Let's talk some NFL the rest of the way here on the Roto Experts. The NFL draft, of course, this past week on Friday, we went wall to wall with your coverage 2 hours straight of round one. Friday and Saturday, you had rounds 2 through 7 in 9-2. You saw Dalvin Cook go. You saw Joe Mixon go. Round 3 is where the Giants take potentially the quarterback of the future in Davis Webb. And you saw, you know, a bunch of, you know, no-name guys that we're going to need to know at some point during the 2017 season. Let me start, though, Corey, with the big running back names in Joe Mixon and Dalvin Cook. We actually speculated on Friday that one of these guys, we did it all week, one of these guys was going to end up in Cincinnati. We were right. It was Joe Mixon that goes to Cincinnati. It's not like not a huge surprise. Maybe Minnesota wasn't the guaranteed landing spot for Dalvin Cook, but like, then that wasn't necessarily a surprise either. What were your initial thoughts when you saw that Mixon ended up in Cincinnati and Cook to Minnesota?
Yeah, Mixon to Cincinnati looks like it's going to be a good fit. He should be able to take the ball and take over that job from day one. Gio Bernard struggles with injuries. He's also more of a pass-catching style. I think Jeremy Hill days are numbered. I think they might need to try to trade Jeremy Hill and possibly release him. So Joe Mixon goes in there. He takes over. They got some pieces in that offense. Now, their offensive line, they lost some pieces in the offseason, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But I am a fan of Joe Mixon going in. I am a fan of the football player Joe Mixon going to the Cincinnati Bengals. He'll be a guy that I'll definitely be looking at in that mid-RB2 range. So I can get down with Joe Mixon.
Corey, if Joe Mixon had no personal issues and what he did was horrific, we all know that. But if everything, say if he was on the up and up, clean player, do you believe Joe Mixon would have went ahead of Christian McCaffrey?
No, I don't think he'd have went ahead of Christian McCaffrey. I think McCaffrey can do a little bit too much, but I think he would have been a first round draft pick.
I think he would have been top 15 if he had no issues.
I think I would have.
He's that talented.
Over McCaffrey, yeah. I can dig it. He can play. And Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. I think that's a great spot for Cook. I really do.
He's going to be able to do a lot. He's going to be able to catch the football out the backfield. He'll get a chance to play with. He'll get a chance to play in that offense. That offensive line improved a little bit over the offseason. I think we see that Latt Murray is going to be more or less be a complimentary piece. I think that Cook is going to have the opportunity to get the job done. He got one of his homeboys out there with him in Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah. Same hometown, same neighborhood. Even though Bridgewater is probably going to be. On the trainer's table. I hate to laugh at that, you know what I'm saying? But it's a good spot for him. So Dalvin Cook ends up in Minnesota. I read some of his story this week. He's not like really like a lot of the things he did. He was like 13 and 14 years old.
Yeah, well, people get stereotyped, which is unfortunate. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know what? You know, look, he's got a chance. We spoke
exactly. He got a chance
a couple of weeks back about like Aaron Hernandez never mm-hmm. changing his lifestyle yep. for the better and changing people's lives. Some of these players do the exact opposite, change their lifestyles and change others for the better.
And it'd be cool to be out there with Bridgewater because that's mm-hmm. like that's somebody in that he came up with. So you know what I'm saying?
These two names are definitely fantasy forward.
Yes,
everybody's
no doubt
focused on. But I think rounds 3 and 4, there's like three backs that everybody needs to know. And everybody should be wanting.
Okay.
That's Kareem Hunt in the third round, who went to Kansas City. Jamal Williams, who went to the Packers, who Ty Montgomery was looking really like safe.
Now, Mike McCarthy did say Ty Montgomery is still our starter. Mm-hmm. A question.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that means he's top of the depth chart right now. Yeah.
But and I do like what Montgomery offers, but I think Jamal Williams is really going to push that one.
Okay.
And the other
Jake
one
Sealy
is.
Jake loves Jamal Williams.
Perrine to the Redskins. I think that guy is pretty much going to be. There's already talk they want to get rid of some of the other backs yep. they have, which I don't blame them.
So, and, yep. He's so Sam Perrine steps right in there. And then Wayne Gallman, too, with the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got this kid with Indianapolis, too.
Oh, Marlon Mack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Marlon Mack's talented, man. He's in a real opportunity whenever Frank Gore is finally done. So there's a lot of these running backs. And
they're all going to have fantasy value. All of them will have value at some point this
absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely. We're going to see it. You're going to hear some of the names that Matt just mentioned. We're going to hear about as we get closer and closer to the draft season. Like, it reminds me of like Buck Allen. Everyone loved Buck Allen, who was drafted, I believe, in the third or fourth round last year, and everybody wanted a piece.
Well, I'm sure we'll have some segments on getting to know you.
We certainly will. We'll figure out who the hell these guys are. Corey, what are some of the wide receivers whose names we probably should know that were drafted both on Friday and Saturday we should get to know here?
I can't think of his name.
Well, first one, Zay Jones.
Let's start with Zay Jones sitting right here. He goes to the Buffalo Bills. He goes right into an opportunity.
Immediately, where
he's going to be. Not only they need him to get on the field and get ready to go, strap the helmet on, because you're going to have to. He's going to get targets. He's going to be a piece of that offense right out the gate. Did I read that they're not going to pick up Sammy Watkins?
That's been a rumor that they're debating upon doing it because he's been so injured and stuff like that. I mean, I think that's kind of asinine. But let's give this new regime that's going to come in.
We'll find out in 2 days, right? The deadline is.
Let's. I mean, I guess what's his name? I should say. Excuse me. Has the hammer right now? The Bills' new head coach. So he's going to make the decision. Hopefully, he chooses wisely. Do not give away this option.
You know, it's going to be fun to watch this kid. I was watching the film on him, and he's exciting. I don't know how much of a fantasy impact he's going to make right away, but I think Curtis Samuel is going
to
become
a big play threat
for the Carolina Panthers. Going to do a real good job of replacing Ted Ginn Jr. there.
And I think another guy we should all be looking at. His underwear Olympics was pretty much very damn similar to Christian McCaffrey. That's wide receiver from Western Kentucky. Tywan Taylor. I mean, that's a guy. Look what the Titans did. They got Corey Davis. They take this kid as well. I mean, if you Marcus Mariota's just stuck on the rise.
Yeah, and then the Rams like loaded up on some wide receivers too, including Cooper Kupp, son of former Giants backup quarterback Craig Kupp, who probably not a lot of people remember. But you know, this guy is like, he's not fast, but he runs really nice routes, and he's got good hands, and you know, can be an end zone target too.
So, the thing about it is, they Rams quarterbacks suck.
But they're building for the future. Yeah.
Guys like him and Robert Woods, and depending on if they can finally use Tavion Austin, right? I mean, for PPR purposes, they are going to be very relevant.
Yeah, and they got Josh Reynolds like a little bit later in the draft too.
They're going to have to throw.
They got to run too because they got Todd Gurley.
They're going to have to throw so they can run. Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah. But can Goff throw?
Well, short passes.
If you can't throw short passes, can he throw? Can he make the right reads? You know, that's the thing.
He scares me, Greg.
Well, it's funny because you talk about Jerry Goff.
Kick me, son.
And Davis Webb with the Giants drafted in the third round. She's like, oh, man.
You want me to?
No, he kicked me underneath the table. He kicked me. You didn't say sorry.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't kick you harder.
Davis Webb, the Giants draft in the third round, they're like, wow, he could be as good as his predecessor, Jared Goff. I'm like, is that a good thing?
No, that's not a good thing.
This is what you're telling me? Like, oh, that's good. Great.
The guy that Pat Mahomes beat out at Texas Tech.
Pat Mahomes beat out at Texas Tech, and like, you know, who knows? I can't imagine this guy's going to be any good, but nevertheless.
The Kareem Hunt one, though, and right quick, is interesting because, like, if Spencer Ware, you know, looks like the Spencer Ware of the last 8 weeks of the season last year, Kareem Hunt can get a chance. He'll have an opportunity. And they pound those running backs in Kansas City. They really get those running backs involved. So Hunt could very well be this year's Jordan Howard.
I drafted Kareem Hunt, and I just love the fact that he's in Kansas City. Under Andy Reid, running backs seem to do really well there.
Spencer Ware,
I'm not sold on at all. This is a guy that should be definitely on people's radar.
And I think Shaw Kendrick West is just like, he's there. He's a guy.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt's absolutely someone that's going to walk right in here and make a difference, I think, in fantasy leagues.
Well, Ware's going to get the first opportunity. They're going to give Ware.
Yeah, I agree.
Ware is the guy to start off with, but I think it'll be Kareem Hunt, and it'll be majority
on which
Kareem
Ware
Hunt.
We see.
You talk about Ware not being all that impressive. Lamar Miller wasn't that impressive. You know, could the backfield of the future, the Texans, be Deshaun Watson and Dante Foreman?
Foreman's a nice kid, but I think that was a great pick for them because having Lamar Miller, they need to do the right thing with him, use him correctly, as they stated they're going to this year. And taking a kid like Foreman,
this Bill O'Brien scares me.
His ego scares me.
Tough for Watson to pick up that playbook.
You know, Watson is a name that everyone loves, and he's going to step in immediately. Corey, you love him, but
I do too. Yeah,
Scotty does as well.
Bill O'Brien's a jackass,
pretty much.
Yeah, he's got to come in here and learn this system. All right,
Bill O'Brien is betting that he can make Deshaun Watson the man and take him there.
Okay? Yeah, but my thing is like your system. Screw your system. You feel what I'm saying? Like. Let's do what this kid wants to do.
With coaches, it's like I hated coaches like going back to Mike Martz to say, okay, you learn my system rather than me cater my system to you.
Yeah.
When you got somebody's talented, Deshaun Watson, I agree with you. Be flexible.
Like you, Scott, you run RotoExperts.com, right? Yeah. You get a talented upcoming guy. He doesn't really write in a certain style or whatever.
Yeah.
And you be like, oh, okay, well, you're still doing good work. We think you can be an asset on the team.
Yeah.
We'll work with you in working to your strengths.
That's actually how my career started.
There you go, Scott.
I was in the newsroom at Sportsline USA, and it wasn't working out. It just like it wasn't creative enough for me. I said, you know what? We're going to put you in fantasy and see how you do.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is a huge year for O'Brien. If If Deshaun Watson comes out there, has like a Dak Prescott kind of season, then he's going to be considered a genius.
And if he comes out there and he fools around with Tom Savage, and then he makes Watson run his offense, and he makes, like, Watson can't run the offense, I'm going back to Tom Savage, and they win the AFC South with an 8-8, 9-7 record, his ass going to get fired.
Yeah, I don't think
so. Teach the system to somebody else.
Again, right?
I think week one, it's Watson on the center.
To me, I mean, you're right. If you do the Tom Savage thing again, and they have no quarterback again, he's going to get fired.
He's like, got to.
You
got to
put your best foot forward. That's going to be Deshaun Watson. It's 100% going to be. And I think the story that we will hear was, it's a very complicated system that Bill O'Brien runs, but you know what? Deshaun Watson has mastered it like no one we've ever seen before. And all of a sudden, Watson will be behind center because that. He is the most talented guy on the roster. You have a chance, and I know, Scott, how you feel about rookie quarterbacks, but this guy is going to give you the best chance to win a Super Bowl, better than Tom Savage.
Look, it's like you say out of the past how I feel about rookie quarterbacks, but I don't know if he's going to be a Super Bowl contender, but I like the kid a lot, and I think, you know, from what I've heard about him, he's got high aptitude, so maybe he's ready, you know, to seize this playbook.
Well, you know, I don't mean in the past. I mean, you hate rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs. You've said that repeatedly. You can't just change your mind.
I'm not changing my mind, but I can do whatever I want. Thank you, but I'm not changing my mind right now. It's like, our debate was like, is this team going to be a Super Bowl contender? I don't think it can be with a rookie quarterback. That's what my point was.
Sure, but you do think it can't be the Tom Savage? Deshaun Watson still gives a better team a chance to win the Tom Savage.
So let me ask you this. Yeah. If they're playing the Oakland Raiders in the divisional round in the playoffs in the AFC, are they a contender?
I don't see them in the AFC championship game.
So in order to be a contender, you have to be in the championship game.
I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I couldn't see them getting
past. But if they're one of the final four teams in the AFC, then that kind of means they're a contender. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they're going to be Super Bowl contender. Like, they're a conference contender, not a Super Bowl contender.
Scott also doesn't.
Very weird.
By the way, going back to another old argument Scott and I had, he also doesn't think if you're in the Final Four or Final Four in the AFC, you have a chance at glory. The only time you have a chance at glory is if you're in the Super Bowl. Like, to me, once you make the playoffs. We had a very big argument about the word glory.
Right.
And I was like, listen, you make the playoffs, like, you have an opportunity to glory. And you're like, no, you don't. And because you think once you're in the Super Bowl, it's your only opportunity.
I don't know if making the playoffs is glory.
No, because you have a chance at glory then.
Once you get into the playoffs, you have a chance.
Oh, so now you change your argument.
But, but you have to get to the conference title game and then win that, you know? There's no real glory until you make the Super Bowl.
And I'll beat the drum. Underrated asset on the Texans, Braxton Miller this year in fantasy.
You've been all about Braxton Miller, Matt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've been all about that. I'm excited. I'm excited for what he could bring. So you're not going to be on Jalen Strong again? No.
Oh my God, the Jalen Strong kicked me in my ass so many times. You thought you like Braxton Miller over Fuller?
I think Braxton Miller is going to make one of the biggest steps this year from that year one to year two. I think we're going to see the athleticism just pour out.
Are you in on Will Fuller?
I like Will Fuller. I think Will Fuller is a great deep threat.
Okay.
You know, he's one of those guys that can stretch that field for you.
We're going to see what Miller can do
underneath and really become an asset.
We're going to come back for the final couple minutes of the show, and when we do, we're going to do quick hits on the four teams that we all like. The Bills, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Giants. What did we think of their drafts? We'll tell you at a wrap of the show coming up next.
Become the wizard.
Hi, I'm Adam Lind, and you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We got about 4 minutes left in the show, guys, which means 1 minute for each of us to go off, to not, to breathe a little bit about your team. So we'll go left to right here. Corey, Dallas Cowboys.
How about them?
Finished with the best record of anybody at this table.
Yep.
Just two losses during the regular season. Of course, one in the playoffs.
One heartbreaking
one in the playoffs. Corey, Cowboys, how did you feel their draft went?
Satisfied with the way the draft went. Addressed a lot of the areas in need. Obviously, we saw in the offseason a lot of our defenders were let go of let leave in free agency. So, obviously, we had to add some players. Safeties and cornerback was a position that they went deep on and heavy. When you when the opposing team's quarterback completes a pass on 3rd and 19 in the last game of the season, it means you got to do a better job of getting to the quarterback. And that was the reason why we saw Taco Charlton go with the as the Cowboys' first round draft pick. There's a lot of mixed reviews on Taco, but you know what? Rob Marinelli will coach him up, and practicing against Tyron Smith every day will make him better.
Okay, so you're the one word you're describing yourself as is satisfied.
I'm satisfied with the Dallas Cowboys draft. How about him?
There you go. Scott the King Angle, how do you feel about the Seahawks draft?
They went defensive tackle with their first pick with Malik McDowell, though, but he's a heck of a pass rusher, and they need more of a rush from the interior. They just get it from the ends with, like, Bennett and Averill. And they went heavy on defensive back. It's like, it, like, they really went for depth. They went for defensive line, but they did ignore the offensive line when they got Ethan Poschick out of LSU in the second round. So, I think it was a solid draft. I was a little surprised by how many defensive backs they took, though.
Solid and surprised are the words Scott used about the Seahawks draft. Matt, when it comes to Buffalo and the new regime.
I was disappointed we didn't get a Corey Davis or a Mike Williams, but considering that, overall, I was happy with the players that they did get in the first, second, and third rounds. They were aggressive. They moved up in the second. They got the kid from Temple in the third. And I really do like that first round pick, being that they stood pat at 27. The guy, Tre'Darius White, I think is a hell of a player.
All right. So what would be the word you use to describe your team?
Content.
Content. Content. Yeah, that's a good word. That's pretty much what I took from that. For me, you know, for the Giants, I'm very frustrated they used one pick on an offensive lineman all draft, and that's their clearest weakness. I think they plugged holes. I think they plugged holes at tight end. They plugged a massive hole at defensive tackle. So anyone that says best player available, that's all BS, and I say that every year because they don't. It's not best player available. It's filling a need. And I think the one thing I'm frustrated about is they were very clear they were going to draft a quarterback here. I would have taken an offensive lineman in the third round because you would have just plugged every need you had, and you would have done it. I would have been very, very satisfied because you had one of the best defenses in the league. You replaced the one spot you lost in the second round. In the first round, you placed the tight end. Now all you need is an offensive lineman in the third round. Instead, they take a quarterback that they believe is the best arm in the draft, and wildly inaccurate is the other term you heard about this guy. That's a pick for 2020, not for 2017. So a little disappointed is what the word I would use.
Remember I read that blurb about him, and I was like, they were like, he has a big arm. That's where the positive start.
Yeah. You got to be pumped as a giant. Hey, Old School Fantasy is next with Corey Parson, George Kurtz, and Matt Modica. For Modica, Angle, and Parson, I'm Sutton. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern.